program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
Luminescent cloud to be, enormous power field, Imperial Klingon cruiser Amar continuing to attack.
We've plotted a course on that cloud, Commander. It will pass into Federation space fairly close to us.
Heading?
Sir, it's on a precise heading for Earth.
That's within Klingon boundaries.
Permission to come aboard, sir.
Granted, sir. Welcome aboard, Admiral.
Captain, Starfleet just signaled your transfer of command order, sir.
Captain?
Mr. Christian, I've sailed the Bounty over 27,000 miles, and you think you've come to an island paradise. Well, you're wrong. You're here to labor. The ship's company will remember that I am your captain, your judge, and your jury.
Jim, you're pushing.
Perhaps you are unaware that the Articles of War invest in me the authority to order punishment. During the recent heavy weather, I've had the opportunity to watch all of you at work, on deck and aloft. You don't know wood from canvas, and it seems that you don't want to learn. Youth are a disgrace to saltwater.
Kirk may be a swaggering, overbearing, tin-plated dictator with delusions of godhood.
You mutinous dog. You're a mutinous dog. 10 days in half ration.
This is how I define unwarranted.
Fantastic.
Wonderful.
You're on the movie line at 761-3330, and this tape is being brought to you by...
Baba!
No, this tape is being brought to you...
By satellite! By microwave!
Bye-bye!
Thank you, Bob. Yes, I'd like to tell you... Now, this is a wonderful laugh track, isn't it? God, let's do this thing. We're here for the week of November 20th through the 24th. That's right. The 24th is... Tell us what the 24th is, Bob.
It's Thanksgiving Day. We'll all give thanks. The Paul Wayne does this once a week.
Thank you very much. Turkey Day, celebrating the Day of the Turkey. Me. Coming up later in the tape, we're going to have Bob laughing still at my stupid jokes. And also, we're going to be speaking with Charles Martin Smith, star of the new motion picture, Never Cry Wolf. I think that would be interesting with you. Bob, what's your problem, huh?
You.
Yeah, okay. Well, why don't you tell us about Observatory before we run out of time here?
Observatory, the West Valley phone line, 100th tape on 999-049. That's the 100th anniversary this week. Call that.
Yes, and good luck. No, I mean, good riddance. I mean, let's get on with the tape, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hello, who just called in?
What the hell is this thing?
This is a movie line. What the hell are you?
I am Dennis DeCrepo.
Oh my God, Mr. DeCrepo, I can't believe it's you again.
Oh my God, it is a life-threatening situation when you think about it.
Hey, you know, I just want to briefly mention right here that I had a blast making your tape, and I'm honestly sincere about that when I say I got blasted off my butt. No, really.
That's true, all the fumes that you were inhaling.
And I'm telling... It's wonderful. When you do a DBS tape, you go over there, and he doesn't feed you drugs. I think, what do? Blow it in the air, and you get high off it?
That's the smog. We're up in the 7th floor there, you know, so you get a good dose of the ozone.
That's right. That's right. Anyway, hey, do you have anything to say to our callers out there in movie land?
No, not really. I never go to the movies because I'm blind, you know, so it doesn't really pay to go to the movies.
Sure. You know, yeah, you can't see past the end
I'm
of your...
I'm really blind, but I am deaf and dumb.
Dennis, I just want to say it was a blast doing your tape, and for those of you who don't know, I'm going to be appearing on the very upcoming DBS tape, which should be on now as I speak, and I'm speaking right now, isn't that true?
They can hear it at 769-8880 or 94-0060. 59.
And I want to tell you, it's wonderful. And I want you all to call it because I'm in it.
That's right. And we even talked about Brian Feedback, didn't we?
Brian Feedback. Well,
right.
If you...
Brian's going to love that tape.
Brian's going to love it. And to find out what we talked about, call his line. That's DBS 769-8880 and 984-0069. Thanks for calling, Dennis.
Bye-bye.
Well, Skidder Dan sounds like the Gopher Twins. Now, there's copyright laws, you know. Anyway, this is Sarah Sita. What did I see? I saw a double feature called Mr. Mom and Running Brave. Mr. Mom, you can have it. It's a little on the dumb side. It's got its moments. I mean, it is funny in some places, but it's a little too dumb for my liking. I mean, unless you really don't want to use your brain and want to go see something like this, yeah, it's fine, but, you know, whatever your taste movies happen to be. The other one was Running Brave with Robbie Benson. Excellent movie. That was really a great movie. I mean, I understand what the critics are saying, that Robbie Benson doesn't look like an Indian. He does, in a way. You know, give the guy credit. He can only look so much like an Indian. But that is definitely a go-see. That is really great. Out of curiosity, I wanted to know your view on Educating Rita. And also, if you ever get a chance to do a spot on Yentl. I'm hearing mixed reviews about that one. Well, talk to you later. This was Sarah Sita. Bye.
They said he was a quitter.
You quit, son.
They said he'd never make it.
I'm not quitting.
They said he didn't have a chance.
Either you're a runner or a quitter.
Here's the story of Billy Mills, a 26-year-old who raced in the Olympics, running in borrowed shoes.
The Olympic Games are my dream, and I'm going to try to make them happen.
Robbie Benson in Running Brave. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Submitted for your approval, one lone man running a race for the hell of it. Yes, sir. One dream, one race, one chance to prove that he wasn't just another Redskin. Right, Bob?
The bum didn't even take home the gold.
Oh, beauty. But this film is about an Indian. As you can tell, we put our famous Indian ritual background music in there.
And it's Robbie Benson in baby oil.
And you can buy this record, Indian Punk, right here. And it's sung by the Chipmunks. And let's get on with the numbers, where you can see this picture in Orange County at the UA City Cinema at area code 714-634-3911, or Bob?
My favorite every Tuesday for a dollar, the man Valley West at 996-1300.
I'm sure you take advantage of that dollar every Tuesday, right, Bob?
Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, you know what's going on with movie 2010? I wonder, I know that, I forget, there was some woman who was going to direct it. I don't know exactly who. But I want to know, you know, what's going on with 2010. By the way, this is Dan of Columbus. Also, you know what Spielberg and Lucas is doing right now? Are they still doing the Raiders sequel? And is Spielberg still planning on doing another E.T. movie? That's pretty much it. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, and about 2010, well, Clark has just completed the screenplay, and you should look for that in your movie theater in about a year and a half, maybe 2 years.
So you think that's going to be coming out in about 2 years or so, Bob?
Most definitely, yeah.
Okay, another thing he wanted to know was about E.T. Now, I spoke to Robert McNaughton, and all I know is that he told me there was a script in the works, but... What, do you know anything else about that, Bob?
I know that Spielberg did not sign for a sequel with Universal, so I don't know how it's going to come out.
I see. Doesn't he have a new film coming out, Spielberg?
Yeah.
Called Gremlin?
Gremlin, yeah.
Gremlin. When's that due out, do you know?
Don't know.
Coming out soon. That's Spielberg's next project, but after that, he's got the... You asked about the sequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is called Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and that will be coming out to theaters near you May 25th, 1984. So be looking out for that one, and Bob?
And back into the tape.
Here we go.
Hi, Paul. What's up? what's going down, mofo. Yeah. Well, anyway, about, I think it was Wednesday, I went to go see the movie Richard Pryor, Here and Now. And I sound kind of happy, but I'm not. It was a little disappointing. His first show, Richard Pryor Live, was much better, much better. Live on the Sunset Strip, I thought it did it. And this one was not even comparable to Live on the Sunset Strip. And this one wasn't that good. It was a couple pretty good parts, but basically the movie wasn't that hot. It was about, altogether there was 15 minutes in the, you know, 15 minutes, a good 15 minutes in the whole movie. I felt there was one scene that last, one thing that he did, took 20 minutes, I think, about this guy shooting heroin, and it was really stupid. I fell asleep through it. It was kind of stupid, and then at parts it was pretty funny. So I would have to give this movie a 4, because it wasn't that good, but it was okay. 15 minutes is pretty good from Richard Pryor. He's a very good actor. But do better, Rich, and I'll be talking to you later. This is David from Sherman Oaks. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the two most beautiful words in the world of comedy, Richard Pryor.
You remember me?
He's back in an all-new film with the last word on the state of the nation.
Don't take my word for it. Ask the president. I'm meant to president. We in trouble.
A few words on the state of the economy.
You can eat 24 hours a day in America. You got some money or a pistol, you can get something to eat.
And some helpful advice on drinking and driving.
When you come up, say everything's fine, okay? Now that's what you say in your brain, but your mouth has made up its mind. Policeman, come under my. How you feeling? I was in fish, I was never out there.
He's fast and furious. And hotter than ever.
We on fire again? What?
Richard Pryor, Here and Now, from Columbia Pictures, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
I love it!
I had a ball last week, Paul. A ball, Paul! This is David of Burbank.
Yes.
Did you hear the one about the flasher that considered retiring?
Oh. He thought he'd stick it out for one more year! What?
Okay, Paul, do you know I want to give my thanks to OCC out there? John of OCC. That would be J-O-C-C. I wonder if he did that intentionally. Do you think you're a jock, John? Now, come on. It was so much fun. You know, Paul, I'm going to have to do that again. What do you say? After this week, beg me to come back.
Hello, this is Ken from the land of On Target. And I just saw Cujo for the first time. I thought it was really good because it was, like, realistic. There wasn't some psychopathic killer or anything. It was just, like, this wild dog. It's so realistic for this, like, wild dog to be locking this lady in this car. It was, like, great. And I saw with Dead Zone. Dead Zone was really good. It was real dead. No, it was really good. Over here in the wild land of On Target, you know, the kind of beast that's running around here. But anyway, I also saw Amityville 3D, and that happens to be the biggest waste of $4 I ever spent in my life. So nobody else wastes $4 to see it. Anyway, I'll be talking to y'all very soon. Have a nice day. Get on Target, and bye-bye.
Well, hello, all you movie-liking callers. This is John OCC from the Orange County Connection. It's located somewhere in North Orange County, California, and I'm calling in a quick little review on the movie Testament. I like the movie Testament. Even though it was a depressing movie, it did have a message there. And overall, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would give it an 8.5. Go see it. But it is rather depressing. And to Ross Harris, who starred in there. Ross, if you're listening, I think you did a superb job, okay? And if the critics don't like it, well, they know what they can do with it. Okay, anyway, this has been a short little review here from old Jabberjaw himself, John of La Habra. Goodbye.
Hello, this is Jeff from Van Nuys. I'd like to urge all of you to see Vertigo playing at theaters around town now. is one of the, it is the greatest Hitchcock film ever made. Filmed in Vista Vision, one of the few films ever shot in that process, in three-process Technicolor. Beautiful three-process Technicolor. It's one of the most dynamic, incredible, nightmarish films ever shot. It has left an impact on me since I was a child when I saw it, and I highly recommend it. It'll be a film you'll never forget. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanksgiving, what a memorable day. We've certainly come a long way since that day in 1648 when the Indians stepped out of the forest and presented an armful of turkeys and a basket of grain to Captain Crosby. What brave people. What brave people. They were a small, struggling minority who gathered together and fought the hardships of the country. They called themselves Pilgrims, which was later changed to Republicans. The Indians were very kind and brought the Pilgrims good luck and security, which is more than I can say for my Indians. Cleveland time. Just picture the excitement aboard the Mayflower as they reached America, and the captain shouts, "Look, it's America, just as Drew Pearson predicted." Of course, Thanksgiving has changed from the days of the Pilgrims. Today, a turkey costs more than the whole Mayflower did. And the Pilgrims would be amazed to see how a modern housewife prepares Thanksgiving dinner. She uses a frozen turkey, frozen peas, frozen carrots, and frozen cranberries. When she's through, she doesn't say dinner's ready. She just points at the food and says, "Mush." They had a United Nations dinner in Washington. The dinner took 8 hours. Every time someone tried to pass anything, Russia vetoed it. But it's a wonderful season, Thanksgiving. Of course, all my relatives will be over for Thanksgiving dinner. I know they will. They're circling over the house now. I went down and ordered our turkey at the supermarket this morning. Supermarket, that's the Taj Mahal with cantaloupes. I wanted to be sure of a nice turkey for Thanksgiving, so I walked up to the butcher and said, "Can a medium-sized hen be reserved?" He said, "Some of them can, but you got to watch out for the redheads." Of course, you can buy a turkey almost cooked in one store in Beverly Hills. Really overdoes it. Instead of just basting the turkeys, they turn them over every hour and massage them with lanolin plus. Everybody's shopping. When I walked in the supermarket, the manager got a grocery cart for me. I said, "Why do you always give me a cart with a squeaky wheel?" He said, "We've only got one store, Detective Hope. We can't watch everybody." But I'll never forget Thanksgiving when I was a kid back in Cleveland. It was really fascinating to watch my brother eat. He was the first kid in Cleveland who had teeth with power steering. One year, Dad took pictures of us kids eating, but they came out a little blurred. No camera has yet been invented that can work at that speed. But Thanksgiving is a time of goodwill when we share our blessings with those less fortunate than ourselves. They have that spirit even in Washington. In fact, there's hardly a Republican who isn't inviting a Democrat to Thanksgiving dinner.
Meanwhile, over at DC Cab.
It's tough to be a cab driver, baby. That's why I became a gigolo.
You have faith in God. You have faith in your country. You do not have faith in the Eight Stooges.
Sorry, ma'am.
Wrong house.
DC Cab, with an all-star cast including Mr. T and Paul Rodriguez. DC Cab, from Universal Pictures, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
Hello.
Hello, is this the Paper Hanging Institute of America?
Yes.
Well, early painting and paper hanging, whatever. Now you hang wallpaper, right?
No, we don't, except if we're involved in painting.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm just asking about a very technical question about paper hanging since I'm doing it to my own house.
I see.
What sort of bonding material would you use on the back portion of the paper when you paste it to the wall?
Well, it depends on the kind of paper you have. If you have to have a vinyl paper, you need a vinyl paste. If you
just
a paperback, I think you could probably call Sherwin-Williams and get some information, because I really...
Well, I have the paper that has a very slick oil backing, but it has polychromates on the back that are also used with a magnesium bonding material, which has not been too successful to the largest degree. And I was thinking of using a Videocon tube to press the enamel further into the grooves so that it might fit and stay on the wall without, you know, peeling off, because it's peeling off in these very obvious layers, and it's not too good to look at, you know, and there's cracks in the wall and a crack between them.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of using an emulsifier also, maybe to thin down the bonding material in order for the paper to stick on the wall.
Well, you see, I really couldn't help you there, because I'm not familiar with that.
Well, I'm using lead-based paint also.
But I think
the lead-based paint on the wall, I think the lead in the paint maybe was emitting ions, which was destroying the paper bonding material. And when it destroys the paper fibers, then there's no telling what will happen. You know, bacteria gets in it and everything.
Yes, yes.
So I'm not really sure what will happen.
You're really up on your wallpaper. Why don't you do this?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, why don't you call Sherwin Williams?
What's the number? What's the number?
I don't really know. You'll have to look it up in the book.
Oh, what book? What you mean?
In the local...
You mean the Bible? I don't have a book.
No, in what? The telephone directory.
Where do I obtain the telephone directory?
Well, where are you calling from?
From Limbo.
You're on the movie line.
Hello, Bob.
Hello.
I was going to leave my bloody comment, you twit.
Well, go ahead and leave your comment.
Well, I can't.
The tape recorder's
just
not
don't mind. No, it's on. No, you're on the air. We're on the tape.
On the air.
Go ahead. Go ahead and talk. What movie are you going to leave your comment on? Yeah, you're wasting tape.
My comment is. Hello, callers. This is Gary GB Observatory calling all the way from Woodland Hills. This week's review was on a movie I saw a little while ago. Savage Island, or also known as Nathan Hayes. Very, very entertaining film. Definitely good for some family fun. I highly recommend this film, as it was an adventurous, but really not so savage. In fact, it was rather a timid island, but we shan't go into that. But otherwise, it was a very entertaining film. Definitely worthwhile for all the family. I recommend it. On my scale, I give it an 8.
Oh, no. I've been caught with my proverbial pants down. This is Sunny from Garden Grove. I don't go to the show that much, but I like you, Paul. Anyway, cute little thing.
Wonderful. Anyway, I mean, is that good or bad, Bob? Can you tell?
Oh, I heard she couldn't sit in the movie seat anyway.
Why is that, Bob? Because she's too big and fat?
No, because she's too fat and big.
Oh, sorry. Wrong wording. No, it's not nice to say things about our callers like that.
That's why we are going to take back what we said to you right now and apologize.
Yes, we're the clowns.
But to Ken off base, anyway, I want to tell you, Ken, it must be wonderful out in On Target Land, where you have 24-hour pre-recorded from the phone company disconnect recordings. They're neat, real neat.
I love it. That's the most creative thing I've heard yet. Original, Ken.
And don't forget to call my output number, Ken, to hear your used output machine that you're going to eventually never get.
That's right. Never. Never say output machine again. Okay. Anyway, coming up right now, before we end our tape this week, we've got Charles Martin Smith from Never Cry Wolf. So we're going to be speaking to him. And
never say Never Cry Wolf again.
Why is that?
Because of they die.
I'd certainly never been in the North. I'd never been up in the Arctic at all. I never even went camping.
Actor Charles Martin Smith was an indoorsman. That is, before he played the lead in Never Cry Wolf, a new movie filmed by director Carol Ballard over a 2-year stretch in the Arctic. Smith stars as a rookie biologist who's conned into conducting research on wolves in the Arctic.
Why me? Maybe this whole thing is a mistake. Maybe my name just somehow got onto the wrong page. Might have been a typo, or maybe somebody spilled a cup of coffee, shuffled a couple of pages, and there I was. I can't go on with this. This is suicide.
Fortunately, Smith adapted to the far north at about the same rate as his character in the film.
As the shoot went along, I found that I was getting my legs up there, and I was able to sort of deal with it and able to appreciate it, and began to feel more and more comfortable and more at ease out on the land. And that sort of paralleled what was happening with Tyler, so that while I was playing the part, I was actually sort of undergoing some of those same changes that the guy was, which made it very interesting.
Smith's most challenging acting scenes in Never Cry Wolf were played opposite two Inuit Eskimos who had never acted before.
They were completely natural and absolutely relaxed. And it was difficult for me because as soon as you put an actor next to a real person like that, especially as low-key as they are, everything that an actor does is going to look really phony, you know, really as though he's acting. So I had to become as real as they did in the part of Tyler.
See, the wolves are supposed to eat caribou. However, there are no caribou. Basically, what the wolves have been eating is mice. So I'm conducting an experiment to see whether a carnivore, a big animal, can live on nothing but mice. So I've been just eating mice, and I'm doing fine. What does he say?
He says, good idea.
In his most physically demanding scene, Smith had to run in the nude.
I wasn't actually completely nude. I had shoes and socks on.
He had to chase a herd of caribou across the tundra in sub-freezing weather.
The caribou tend to run off very quickly. They're really good at that. And it was down just above freezing. So, you know, being naked wasn't a lot of fun either. We have a lot of footage on the cutting room floor of me blue and shivering.
By the time he finished the picture, Charles Martin Smith had a new perspective on life in the Arctic, especially regarding wolves.
They're just about gone, you know. We've just about wiped them out. Man has always had this sort of hatred of wolves, and it doesn't seem to be any reason for it, really. I'd really like to try and do something to keep the wolves going.
Smith hopes Never Cry Wolf will have a similar effect on audiences.
I hope maybe they come away from it feeling a little bit different about the world that we all inherited and the world that we ought to leave behind us.
In Hollywood, this is Roy Firestone with the star of Never Cry Wolf, Charles Martin Smith.
Movie critics rave about Never Cry Wolf, the new motion picture from the director of The Black Stallion. Carol Ballard is a filmmaker of ravishing talent. David Anson, Newsweek. A movable feast of sights, sounds, and extraordinary physical excitement. Bruce Williamson, Playboy magazine. This is a movie nature buff and city slicker alike will want to see over and over again. Richard Friedman, Newhouse Newspapers. Never Cry Wolf, a true story. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
Do it for the movie line. Don't forget to call Observatory's 100th output tape coinciding with this week's movie line tape.
Wonderful. And how do you like the Robin Williams choir here, Bob?
Wonderful. And you'll hear more of this on Observatory Tape 100.
So call it at 999-0429. I'm going to be making a guest appearance, right, Bob?
Yeah.
And don't forget, I'll be making other guest appearances this week on Feedback at 765-6000. Also, DBS at 769-8880. Bob?
Bye, guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Bob. It's been fun having you here, and I hope to see you again real soon.
Wonderful.
The movie line accepts no responsibility for loss of hearing due to high-fidelity programming broadcast over this line. And don't forget, you can write to the movie line, care of P.O. Box 2600, Mount Wilson, California, 91023. And don't forget to leave your movie reviews on the movie line Friday and Saturday at 761-3330. Good night. Have a pleasant tomorrow. This broadcast will repeat momentarily.
Okay.